Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir number 179. Today, we're going to talk about, from Rebbe Twersky's book, Life's Too Short, regarding self-esteem and pulling the plug of on self-defeating behaviors, about the fear of happiness and the fear of failure. So, here's an example of someone, and this is what he writes. He says, Brenda was very anxious, obsessed with the fear that her baby would suffer crib death. I get up several times during the night to check on her to see if she's breathing, and I just dread going over to the crib. And Brenda's emotional condition was getting progressively worse by sleep deprivation, and it was a vicious cycle. Now, Brenda had no immediate contact with cases of crib death. Her only exposure to it was on television or magazines. So why then was she so anxious? Because the child is so beautiful, and I know I don't deserve having such a beautiful child. That is hard to believe, how people dread enjoying life or have a sense of foreboding or afraid that if they enjoy things, something terrible is going to happen. It's like Y.Y. Jacobson once talked about this mentality. You know, we're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And therefore, what we do often is we consciously or unconsciously torment ourselves and deprive ourselves from pleasure and from enjoying life, or from having simchas hachayim. People feel so undeserving of good fortune that they anticipate misery. Sometimes it's tied to the religious belief of a punitive God who's going to punish people for being bad, and expecting always einish, and just a misconception of what we have as a loving God, or feeling too unworthy, that even God would not love them. And again, when you turn to Hashem, and the Shir Man B'tochen about this, even if you're not Roy, even if you're not Kedai, Hashem listens and is passionate and loves every single one of us. It's another example of a self-defeating behavior. And I want you to listen to this because you may not have this same story, but all of us, or many of us, if we look deep into ourselves, we sabotage ourselves from enjoying life, and we are sometimes on the right track, and then we kill it ourselves because of fear of success, actually. So here's another example. It says, Jim had a repetitive problem with alcoholism and relapsed after each course of treatment. But during one course of treatment, it seemed like Jim had turned the corner. Mark changed in his attitude. The staff was optimistic that he was sincere about his recovery. And several months later, Jim was still sober, regularly attending AA meetings. Twersky says like this, I met him when he was 10 months sober, made a note on my calendar to congratulate him on the first year of his recovery. 4 days prior to the anniversary of his first recovery, meaning almost a year, 4 days earlier, Jim was admitted for detoxification after days of heavy drinking. His appearance was dreadful, and he wept. He says, you gotta believe me, Doc, I didn't enjoy drinking. I was approaching a full year of sobriety. I haven't been sober for a single month since the age 11. It was too good to be true. I received a promotion at work, and for the first time I could remember, my wife told me she loved me. And I knew it wouldn't last, and that something terrible was going to happen. And every time the phone rang, I knew it was going to tell me that my little girl had been hit by a car. And I couldn't take the suspense, and I had to get over with it. So he drank. This is self-sabotage. You're so afraid of success that Hashem is really helping you. You're turning a corner, but you're so afraid of that you don't deserve it or something bad's going to happen and you give up. People sabotage themselves this way in many, many ways. They go up a ladder and they topple when they're near the top. Why would anyone fear success? Because you feel you don't deserve it. And therefore, even success can produce a great deal of tension when Hashem wants to give you and give you and give you and you feel you're not worthy. Sometimes medication is helpful to you know, but it has certain negative side effects. If a person has a negative self-image, things that bring about happiness may also have that side effect. That side effect that you're actually doing things to precipitate the distress. So you see from here, how this negative self-image can lead to a great variety of self-defeating behaviors that we need to really work through to function optimally, to enjoy life, and to correct our self-image to grow. It's another person, example, a person graduated from accounting school, good grades, dressed up, went on his first interview. Session went well, but the interviewer said that they were looking for someone with a master's degree in business administration, so he didn't get the job. But again, it got to his head, didn't realize, this interview didn't work out, another one will. But instead, because of his low self-image, he returned home disappointed, shattered, and the next day he didn't get out of bed until noon. Pattern continued. He avoided job interviews, giving various excuses why he couldn't make them, and his parents pushed him to look for a job, and all of a sudden he began to complain about aches and pains and made his round of doctors and didn't find any reason for his complaints. Again, it's the fear of the self-defeating behaviors. No one likes to fail. You see, here's the thing. No one likes to fail because we have no assurance of how anything will turn out. We have a full awareness. We may fail. But as painful as failures may be, they should not be devastating to us. If people have low self-esteem, failures are devastating. If you build your self-esteem and you grow and you realize Hashem loves you, failures are not devastating. If we do fail, we lick our wounds, we learn from our experience and go on living, and we keep on trying and trying again. And people perceive failure as a total devastation. So they don't try anything because their risk of failure is too great. Then they drift along, and they go wherever the tide gets them, and they just drift. And there's nothing, nothing will result with that, but they rather accept this passive failure than active failure. But the problem is that without active failure, without any action, there's no growth. So there's many reasons why people don't try. And people think that, and they fantasize that if it hadn't been for this matzav and that matzav, they would have tried and they would have succeeded. And one reason also people hold back and are afraid of trying is the common mechanism known as perfectionism. Perfectionists think of all possible causes of failure and then take the necessary steps to prevent them, which is impossible to accomplish. So you're spending a lot of energy trying to prevent problems, and you don't have strength to get anything done. So there's no line exactly that separates what's proper caution and what's pathological perfectionism. What's the line between them? And there's some situations that do require great caution. Sakonis the fascist, putting yourself in a dangerous situation, you have to be cautious. But when you're overly perfectionistic, it's abnormal. An example of this is as follows. Reb Tversky said like this: I worked with a nurse who was deathly afraid of making a medication error. She went through the ritual of checking and rechecking medications to the point that the medications that were supposed to be dispensed at 7 a.m. was not dispensed until after 8 a.m. And after giving a patient the medication, she asked that it be given back to her so she could make certain it was the right one. She eventually stopped patients from swallowing the medication after it was in their mouth in order to retrieve it and recheck it. At this point, she was dismissed. So her perfectionism resulted in ultimate failure. She lost her job. Stipler in his letters talks about the OCD-ness in certain halachas and washing the hands and washing in the bathroom in Taharas HaMishpacha, that people make themselves crazy and miserable because of fear of perfection. Instead of just letting it go, rely on a rav, rely on basic halacha, and let it go. So reasonable perfection means it's guided by reason. But when it's not guided by reason, if it's guided by an emotion or by a low self-esteem or by a fear of failure, then it has no bounds. And the predominant emotion is fear of making a mistake. What is just a mistake for many people, for others it could be a devastating experience. If you have a negative self-image, then a mistake for you is a traumatic experience. Reb Tversky says that as follows. He says, I was once riding a car with a friend and we were listening to a tape of a recovering alcoholic who described his earlier years of feeling like I was walking into a minefield where the next step may blow me up to bits. And my friend brought the car to a screeching halt and broke out in a cold sweat. I never thought anyone felt like that. People feel that way. Their negative self-concept leads them to believe they're going to fail, and that failure is a confirmation of their worst fears about themselves that creates anticipatory anxiety, which is the cause of their failure. So this is the real yesod of the shir, to recognize a disproportionate fear of failure may generate so much anxiety that success is impossible. That's why people that have low self-esteem may fail at challenges that are well within their range. So all of us that have this problem in various situations, we need to believe in ourselves because Hashem believes in us. We need to build ourselves up. We need to grow. And we need to realize Hashem loves us. We have a neshama, and Hashem accepts tshuva. We're human beings. Ein tzadik b'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. That no one doesn't sin, every tzaddik, and also that, you know, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'trunya im b'ri yosef, Hashem doesn't place excessive demands on people, and we really, really need to work on this to allow ourselves to live a healthy and happy life. Bracha v'atzlacha.